If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, we cordially invite you to call 844-322-2742 right now. In the U.S. and Canada, that's 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends. And now with his thoughts for the opening today, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we get into those thoughts, I wanted to make known to our listeners, we have a wonderful resource free for the asking on forgiveness. You are forgiven. If you are in Christ Jesus, the Word of God says that in Him you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the single most important issue every Christians need to settle in their hearts. Once they do, the love of God is going to break through in a powerful and positive way, and you're going to be on this path of growing in the grace of God, growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ, and seeing incredible transformation and change in your everyday experience. Yeah. So the forgiveness issue is the door that unlocks the fullness of God's grace in your heart and your life. So we want to put this free resource in your hands. It is 13 powerful passages out of the New Testament that talk about the forgiveness that you have in Christ. They talk about what Christ Jesus accomplished on your behalf. Yeah. And it is free for the asking. Just go to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And at the very top of our homepage, it says free resource on forgiveness. Download here. It can't be any more simple or any more plain. So yeah. we want to put this in your hands. So go to basicgospel.net and download this free of charge right now. It will be a blessing in your life. This is something that you can carry with you. It's small enough to carry on your person with you wherever you go. You can memorize the passages in here. These are just significant verses that will really unlock the fullness of God's grace in your life.
Absolutely. Well, that link is at the very, very top of the homepage there at basicgospel.net. I was looking for it just a moment ago and almost didn't see it, but it's there.
At the top. Yeah,
so right there at the top, we encourage you to go there to basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Well, and when we talk about forgiveness, we really need to tie that to the love of God. Because God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So God forgave our sins. Why? Because God is love, and love forgives. So that's exactly what God did for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when he forgave, he said he remembers our sins no more. So there's no record that he is keeping or tally that he is keeping every time we sin. Right. I used to think that every time I sinned, God put a black mark next to my name. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon I had sinned so much it became a single black line. you couldn't distinguish all the different sins that I had committed. But thinking that, I felt like God had something against me, and so I was afraid of him. Mm-hmm. I was fearful that something bad was going to happen to me at any moment in my life. Well, I hadn't realized that Jesus took away my sins once and for all, that he actually nailed that record that stood against me to the cross. Mm-hmm. It's been done away with, and God remembers our sins no more. That's why we read in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, for example, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. That's the love of God for you. He keeps no record of your wrongs. Why? Because all of your wrongs, all of your sins went upon Jesus 2,000 years ago. Yeah. And he remembers your sins no more. So love keeps no record of wrongs. And in our relationships, one with another, this is a foundational piece for having successful relationships. Yeah. If you're going to keep a record of every wrong that your mate commits against you, you're not going to have a good marriage.
No.
If you're going to keep a record of wrong for every with every friend that you have, for everything that they do against you, you're not going to have a very strong friendship. Mm-hmm. Every relationship needs to be rooted in the forgiveness of God, understanding that that forgiveness of God is rooted in the love of God. And when you're anchored there, you have the opportunity to have strong, dynamic, worthwhile relationships in every area of life.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for being here. We have an open line for you. If you're hearing the live broadcast at 5 after 3 p.m. Central Time, call 844-322-2742, whatever that question is, whatever that situation might be. We'd love to talk with you about it right now. 844-322-2742. Six words comprise the most important declarations we will ever hear. They are, "It is finished," and "He is risen." Now, this month on Basic Gospel, as Bob Christopher has been saying, we've been focusing on the first of those three words, "It is finished." And that's the title of the six-message series by Bob that looks in-depth at the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But what does it actually mean, friends, for you? Well, we invite you to join Bob as he fully details what Jesus did. That is, his sacrifice can rid you of fear, guilt, and shame in regard to sin. Three words, "It is finished," and we want to send you a copy of this excellent series as our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for Basic Gospel this month. "It is finished." Request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start down in Texas and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Bob. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Hey, Bob, what do I refer to that as, everything? Meditation you send me every morning at 6 a.m. Is that a meditation, or what do you call it?
We call it a daily devotional.
Yeah, okay, daily devotional. Okay, well, I really enjoy it, and I look forward to it almost as much as the video on Thursday. Both of them are done real well. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Clay.
What I want to talk about is I want to learn how to defend something, okay? Hebrews 8:10-12, the New Covenant, it says, "This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel." Okay?
Correct.
And, you know, I don't need to be convinced that that's inclusive of the church. But when I say that to someone, they'll say, "Well, that's to the people of Israel." And then so I'll quote Galatians 3:29, if you belong in to Christ, that you are Abraham's descendant and heir to all the promises. I'll quote John 15 about the vine, and I'll quote Romans 11:24 about the vine. Okay. Where it says for about being cut off. Yeah, you know what it is.
Yes.
Okay, so how would you, if somebody came to you and said, "Bob, well, that says that's to the nation of Israel," how do you no pun intended, but how do you graft the church into this new covenant that was prophesied by Jeremiah hundreds of years before? I'll listen.
Well, Clay, that's a great question,
yeah.
And certainly there is a theology that's out there that's being taught in various circles that try to divide Jew and Gentile. So there was a Jewish gospel that was preached by Peter and the apostles, and then there's a Gentile gospel that was preached by the apostle Paul, and it's the gospel of grace. And so Paul preaches that gospel of grace to Gentiles. We form the body of Christ. Peter and the rest, they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which only applies to the Jews. So you're going to have a Jewish body and a Gentile body. Well, there's nowhere in the Word of God that teaches that. John, in John chapter 10, talks about the words of Jesus saying, "Hey, I've come to call my sheep out of my flock." And he's talking about the people of Israel. And he says, "But there's also another flock that my sheep are within." And he's talking about the Gentile world. And he says, when it's all going to be said and done, it's going to be one shepherd and one flock. Mm-hmm. And that is such a powerful, powerful imagery there, that we're all been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd of all of our souls. He's the one that cares for us, and we're going to be standing together, Jew and Gentile, as one. Paul talks about that in Ephesians 2, that out of the two men, he has called people out, and he has formed one new man called the body of Christ. So we see that this gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the grace of God that has been poured out, and through belief in that gospel, we're all saved, whether Jew or Gentile, and when we're saved, then we're added to the body of Christ. And all of this is the result of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Well, in Christ's death, he did something there, not only to forgive our sins, but he fulfilled an old covenant so that he could usher in a new covenant. So, for example, Clay, you know what a will is, and you probably have one written, and that will that you have written is not going to go into effect until the day you die. Well, it was the same with the will of God, the new covenant of God. He wrote it, and then Jesus Christ died, and upon his death, this new covenant went into effect. And this new covenant applies to both Jew and Gentile, to all who call upon the name of the Lord. Why? This new covenant is a ministry that is brought about by the Spirit of God in bringing life to those who were dead in trespasses and sins. So Paul, the minister to the Gentiles, he tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, God has made me a competent minister of the new covenant, not of the old covenant, but of the new. Why? Because the old covenant was a ministry of death. This new covenant is a ministry brought about by the Spirit, and it's a ministry of life. So we all stand together, Clay, as one in Christ, having fellowship together, bound together by this new covenant that we live in.
Bob, I sure appreciate you helping me. Jeannie's sitting here listening too, helping us get equipped in this area. And I know it inside. I just don't know. I need to be equipped to put it into the words when necessary. I thank you, man.
You are so welcome, Clay. Thanks for your call. That's an important question.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm just running into that all the time on social media, and it just really grates on me. Yeah. It's one of those irritating things. When you read the Bible, Clay, it is the story of Jesus. It is God's testimony concerning his Son, how all things were made by him, through him, and for him, and that all things are going to be summed up in him. So why we have to divide and, you know, have little different pieces, it's beyond me. It's all the story of Christ, and we get to participate in it by grace through faith in Jesus. So, Clay, thanks for your question. We certainly appreciate that.
We do. Well, friends, we invite you to join the live video stream of this program each day from either Facebook or YouTube. You'll find direct links at the top of our homepage, again, at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Alaska and talk with Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. What's on your mind today?
I had a question about the parable of the talents in Matthew 14, I believe. I heard a message on the internet, I think it was YouTube, and the guy was talking about the talents, and I was just trying to see how could those relate to Christians for today. You know, they were saying about we should be investing money for in the kingdom and in our families so we can have more, and we should be using these means of talents. I guess he was comparing the talents to money and how we should invest in it. He made the example at the end of that parable about the one that didn't use the talents, how he buried it, and he just kind of put down the guy that didn't use his talent. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, that's a great question, Anthony. And really, when you kind of dive into the parable, you see kind of the difference between faith and fear. And what Jesus is saying is that he doesn't want us to operate in fear. So the one guy that hid his talent, that buried his talent, he did so because he was afraid. He was afraid of what might happen to him if he lost that talent. And so he just buried it, and fear was his motivation. And fear, whenever fear is operative in our lives, it never leads to good decisions. We always make bad decisions out of fear. So we don't want to operate in fear. We want to operate in faith. And here's the good news, Anthony. We have somebody that loves us, that cares for us, that has promised to take care of our needs. So there's absolutely nothing to fear. I mean, we don't want to be reckless with the decisions that we make. We don't want to make decisions apart from wisdom, but we don't want to be paralyzed by fear. And I think that's the whole point of this parable. Don't let fear be the motivation in the decisions that you make. You can take some wise risks, knowing that God has promised to take care of you and to meet every one of your needs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that helps. So, all right, thank you.
You are so welcome, Anthony, and thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and it's really a deep look into what faith looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk a lot in that book about the difference between fear and faith. So let me send that to you, okay, my friend?
Along with that little pamphlet that we just introduced today.
Yeah, we'll do that as well. Oh, yeah. So you hang on, Anthony. We'll get that to you. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, we're talking about the forgiveness pamphlet that Bob mentioned at the top of the program. You'll find a link right at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. It says free resource on forgiveness, and we want you to click that download here button, and we would love to get a copy to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, we had this interesting question from Deborah, who's watching us on Facebook. So if you're not familiar with that, we stream this broadcast. It's a webcast on our Facebook page, and we also do it on YouTube as well. So we have quite an audience that joins us every day there. So Deborah writes this: okay, what if you plan on sinning, such as murder or stealing? Does God still forgive us? Well, here's the news, Deborah. Here's the good news. Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. I mean, Christ has already died for sin. So he's already looked down the corridor of time and saw every sin that you and I would ever commit. And he became sin. He took that sin upon himself, and he died in our place. So that's the good news. So when we receive Christ, and that's what salvation is all about. It's receiving Christ. It's receiving his life. When we receive him, then we receive forgiveness of sins. So it's something as believers we already have. Now, somebody who, quote, is planning on murder or stealing, they're... I mean, I just have to raise some red flags there and say, you know, is a Christian going to be involved in doing that? Sure, he might have some thoughts in that regard. But a believer has been made new in the depths of his soul, in the depths of his heart. The Scripture has said that he has been given a new heart. He has gone from death to life. Christ has come to live in him through his Spirit. He's a new creature in Christ with a brand new identity. And so as thoughts and fleshly desires kind of come into these brains of ours, as worldly temptations come into these brains of ours, we've got a new filter to filter those things through. And that filter is this new identity. This filters the fact that Christ lives in us. This filters the fact that we've been made holy and perfect and right in God's sight. And we look at those things and say, hey, that doesn't fit with who I am now. God's called me to a new way of life. God's called me to something different. And that something different is a life of faith in Jesus Christ. So, Deborah, the idea is this. Christ died for the sins of the world. That forgiveness is experienced in Jesus. So when we come to Jesus by faith, we're born again. We cross over from death to life. We receive that forgiveness of sins, and then we're given the gift of God's Spirit. And God's Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that we are indeed children of God. And that is going to shape how we move forward in this life. So did Christ die for all sins? Yes, he did. Where is that forgiveness experienced? In Christ.
Yep.
Can't experience it outside of Christ. It's experienced in Christ. And that's good news.
Yes, well, thanks for reaching out, Deborah.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Great question.
Yeah.
I'm certainly glad you asked it.
Well, Bob, a question from Nick, who contacted us through the Basic Gospel app. Nick says, I'm in my early 50s and have been a Christian since 2002. I don't go to church regularly and don't spend a lot of time in the Word. I know I'm saved and in God's family, but I can't seem to hear or apply principles of leading a Christian life. All I seem to grasp is how bad I'm doing. I fail at this, I should be doing that. I don't understand why I hear all the negatives instead of the positives. What would you have any tips that would help me straighten out my head?
Well, all the wisdom that we get from out there in the world, it seems like wisdom. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. But when you try to apply it, when you try to live it out, you find out all of that stuff does not work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work in restraining sensual indulgences. It doesn't work. It doesn't help us live godly and upright lives in this present generation.
Yeah.
So we have to turn our minds away from those worldly wisdom, those principles, and turn our minds to Christ. He is our life. So God has called us to trust. And as we trust him, we're going to see transformation start to take place inside all the way to the outside. So, again, we have to realize that law, rules, regulations, principles, rituals, all of those things aren't going to produce the God life that God has given us.
Yeah.
The only way that we can experience that to the full is by faith. Here's what Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. So your prayer should simply be this: Lord, teach me what it means to walk by faith in you. Teach me what it means to trust you day in and day out. And then as you learn what it means to walk by faith, leave the results of that in God's hands. And you will see it is far greater than anything you could have ever dreamed or imagined.
Bob, thanks for that. And Nick, thanks for reaching out. Great question. Hope you'll reach out again if we can be of further help. Well, thanks, everybody, for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have questions or concerns, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Why? Well, because we'd love to hear from you. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. And once again, we so appreciate everyone who helps us keep this message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air. Thank you for doing that. And if you haven't yet joined us, you can help keep the good news coming by donating anytime at basicgospel.net. When you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of our latest series, It Is Finished, a series that can help you rid yourself of guilt, fear, and shame in regard to sin. And you can donate anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, for Bob and the staff, I'm Bob Davis. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.